America's red carpet christens a new control tower. The FAA gets a new COO. And the faucet search shifts focus from rescue to recovery. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, September 18th, 2007. Air traffic controllers at Washington Dulles International Airport are now operating out of a new state-of-the-art tower. The FAA was able to commission the new facility after about 3.5 years of construction at a total cost of $67 million. It stands 300 feet tall at the cab, has a two-story, 16,000-square-foot base building, and is stuffed with state-of-the-art communications technology. The old tower was built when the airport opened in 1962. The FAA says as it transitions to the next-generation air transportation system, the new facility will accommodate the increase in air traffic as well as other technology. Controllers at Dulles handle an average of 1,200 flights per day. Acting FAA Administrator Bobby Sturgill beamed at Monday's ribbon cutting. Quote, "The tower gives controllers a complete 360-degree view of the airfield and movement areas. This is huge. They've now got a crisp, clear line of sight. That'll come in handy with that third parallel runway coming just 14 months from now, as well as the new ASDEX radar system to boost safety and reduce runway incursions," unquote. Two new runways for Dulles were approved by an FAA Record of Decision in 2005. Construction on the fourth runway began in 2006 and will be completed in 2008. That runway will be 9,400 feet long and 150 feet wide. Sturgill called Dulles America's red carpet. Quote, "This is the welcoming sight that folks around the world see when they arrive in the national capital area, like a distinguished ornament of a great country," unquote. On Monday, U.S. Secretary of Transportation Mary Peters announced that Captain Henry P. Krakowski, called simply Hank by insiders, has been selected to serve as Chief Operating Officer of the FAA Air Traffic Organization. Krakowski will lead 35,000 controllers, technicians, engineers, and support personnel. As COO, he'll oversee the operational and financial performance of the air traffic control system and the FAA's research and acquisition programs. Krakowski starts October 1st. His duties include all aspects of aviation, including flying, labor relations, air traffic, and scheduling. Peters called Krakowski the right person to implement NextGen. Quote, "His commitment to safety, outstanding operational experience, and leadership abilities will advance our efforts to modernize our nation's air transportation system," unquote. Krakowski joins the FAA following a nearly 30-year career with United Airlines. As Vice President of Flight Operations for United, he was responsible for a worldwide staff of 8,000 and a $2 billion budget for all flight operations, flight training and standards, technology, and labor relations. For the past 2 years, Krakowski has served as co-chair of the Commercial Aviation Safety Team, an industry and government partnership which the FAA says has helped implement safety enhancements to significantly reduce the leading causes of commercial aviation accidents in the United States. The National Guard, Civil Air Patrol, and state agencies were scheduled to meet on Monday in Nevada to decide whether to continue a two-week-long search for missing adventurer Steve Fawcett or officially transition to a recovery operation. Nevada's Record Courier reports the pilot of a small plane, acting independently of organized efforts, buzzed over a search area near Mina, Nevada on Saturday, prompting the FAA to establish a temporary flight restriction in the area. The man told CAP officials he hoped to collect a $10,000 reward for finding Fawcett. It's been offered by YouChoose.net. The man apparently didn't grasp that the reward is limited to YouChoose members scanning Google Earth images online on their computers. So far, CAP pilots have logged 531 flight hours, flying 213 sorties in the search for Fawcett. Some individual planes involved have accumulated over 100 hours. The chief executive of ProDrive and his wife reportedly walked away from a helicopter crash south of London, England on Sunday. Reuters reports that 55-year-old David Richards, who heads the company which fields Subaru's World Rally Team, was on a flight home from the Belgian Formula One Grand Prix with his wife Karen when he reported hearing a big bang from the rear of the chopper. Richards reports he called in a mayday to controllers at nearby Stansted Airport and made an emergency landing, after which the machine rolled on its side. Richards, described as a seasoned helicopter pilot with experience in precision flying competitions, was described as shaken but unhurt, as was his wife. In a tragic coincidence, the couple was returning home less than 24 hours after a former ProDrive driver and ex-World Rally champion, Colin McRae, died in the crash of his own helicopter near his home in Scotland on Saturday. That crash also claimed the lives of McRae's son and two other passengers. Up next on ANN, changes are coming for Dayton, Ohio's ATC facility. A pilots union helps its own members leave the company. And two are lost in an LSA accident in Colorado. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 400 is a fire-breathing turbocharged four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises 235 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. As high as flight level 250, way above most weather, and a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 400 is the kind of plane you deserve, whether you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the Turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com. Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 18th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. A spokesman for the National Air Traffic Controllers Association has told local media in Dayton, Ohio, that the FAA plans to move its radar approach control station there to Columbus in about 3 years, taking 30 to 35 controllers' jobs with it. The Dayton Daily News quotes Duke Dudley, president of NATCA's Dayton chapter, as saying Columbus would need that many controllers, while 12 to 15 would still be required for local ATC needs in Dayton. Dudley also told the paper the FAA would have the option to turn operation of the tower in Dayton over to a private contractor, as it has in Muncie and Anderson, Indiana, and other locations. FAA spokesman Tony Molinaro says the FAA has no plans to contract out the Dayton tower. Job fairs hosted by unions to attract new employees are nothing new, but job fairs being put on this month by Atlantic Southeast Airlines Pilots Union offer a new twist. They're intended to help existing ASA pilots sharpen their interviewing skills and hone their resumes to better enable them to leave the company. The pilots, represented by the Airline Pilots Association, have been in negotiations for a new contract since 2002. After 5 years of stalled talks, the last three including federal mediators, the union has essentially given up on ever reaching agreement with ASA parent SkyWest. Captain David Neuenhuis, chairman of the ASA Pilot Group's Master Executive Council, says if pilots feel it's in their best interest to leave, their union should support that decision. The first job fair was held on Friday. The second is scheduled for Monday, September 24th. A flight instructor and his student were lost Saturday afternoon when their light sport aircraft went down on takeoff from an airfield near Erie, Colorado. 58-year-old Emmett Murphy and 41-year-old instructor Matthew Krein died when their Evector Sportstar crashed near Erie Air Park at about 2 p.m. local time Saturday. A spokeswoman for the Weld County Sheriff's Department told local media that Krein was at the controls at the time. One witness told investigators he saw the plane bank sharply to the right as it took off before it entered a spin and impacted in a nose-down attitude. The Greeley Tribune reports two local pilots, who told the paper they fly into the airport often, said it appeared the plane wasn't able to climb out in the 90-degree ambient temperature. Jennifer Kaiser with the National Transportation Safety Board said the investigation is in a preliminary fact-gathering stage. Vietnam Airlines, which is state-run, has announced its intentions to become a leading regional carrier in the mold of Singapore Airlines and Cathay Pacific. Industry sources predict it will also launch a low-cost carrier to compete with Pacific Airlines and Air Asia, The manufacturer's feeding frenzy has begun. Boeing and Airbus are already picking up the lunch tabs on a pretty regular basis, but Canada's Bombardier is also in the race now, making a case for its 90-seat CRJ-900 next-gen jet, introduced this year, saying it could fly domestic and Asian routes at the lowest fuel cost per seat. The AFP News Service reports an aircraft leasing firm, Vietnam's First, has recently been set up with a $200 million war chest. Vietnam Airlines is looking to modernize its current fleet of 45 aircraft, a mix of Boeing and Airbus models, French-made ATR-72s, and Fokker 70s. The airline has openly expressed interest in acquiring as many as 14 to 16 more 787 Dreamliners, either through purchase or lease option. Still ahead, Horizon Air adjusts its schedule while inspecting its Q400s. A gear problem scrubs an Airbus A380 flyby at a German air show. And the Lone Star Flight Museum wants to take you up in a Stearman. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, September 18th, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Alaska Airlines subsidiary Horizon Air was brought to its knees last week by Transport Canada's mandated checks of Bombardier Q400 main landing gear assemblies, following two right main gear failures in 3 days on Scandinavian Airlines planes. Horizon has now amended its flight schedule through September 24th to provide travelers with more realistic expectations. The airline tells ANN the modified schedule, which reportedly brings Horizon's number of flights back up to 90% of normal, will allow the airline to complete the inspections of Q400 turboprops in its fleet, as required by Bombardier and regulators. Horizon, which has flown Q400s since 2001, has never experienced any issues like those SAS recently encountered. Horizon CEO Jeff Pinio notes, quote, "We remain focused on minimizing any inconvenience to our customers as we progress toward the restoration of our full flight schedule," unquote. Horizon cautions that any additional regulatory requirements might result in additional schedule adjustments. Customers are asked to check the Horizon Air website for up-to-date flight cancellation information. Airshow attendees in Hamburg, Germany, who hope to see Airbus's massive A380 take off on Sunday, had to settle for watching the Super Jumbo lumber back and forth on the taxiway after an unspecified gear malfunction scrubbed a planned demonstration flight. Deutsche Press Agentur reports the prototype was scheduled to perform a demonstration at airport days in Hamburg before flying back to Airbus headquarters in Toulouse, France. Over 150,000 attendees and several thousand more cheapskates peeking through the fence had hoped to see serial number 001 take to the skies. Airbus spokesman Tor Prang reminded everyone it was a test flight. Quote, "It has been under particularly heavy strain. We are going to take our time checking it out and be on the safe side," unquote. Serial 001, the first ever A380 and strictly a test aircraft, first flew in April of 2005. The Lone Star Flight Museum told ANN Monday the facility has acquired a 1943 Boeing PT-17 Stearman. The World War II vintage trainer is currently on display at the museum's Galveston, Texas facility, and plans are underway to offer flight experiences to the public within the next few weeks. The simple, rugged Stearman is known for its role as a primary trainer during World War II. Over 8,500 of them were built in Wichita, Kansas, and thousands were assigned to Army and Navy bases in Texas. After the war, many steermen soldiered on for decades as crop dusters and airshow performers. Some still do. The remaining examples of the classic aircraft are now sought by collectors worldwide. The steerman will join the B-17 Flying Fortress and B-25 Mitchell as part of the museum's flight experience program later this year. Museum President Larry Gregory explains, quote, "A flight in an open cockpit aircraft is an experience to remember. It's aviation in its purest form and a great way to view Galveston as well," unquote. And finally, Southwest Airlines has tried to put the whole fashion police dress code miniskirt incident to rest. The airline drew highly publicized complaints from two women who were asked to adjust immodest clothing on Southwest flights. After airline officials thought their apology to the women had settled the matter, Hooters waitress Kyla Ebert embarked on a mini TV career with her mini skirt, demonstrating the controversy for several TV shows, underwear peep shots and all. The controversy may have been deserved in part. Southwest was accused of hypocrisy after starting out in the 70s dressing its female flight attendants in skimpy outfits, including hot pants. Now, having decided it can't win by ignoring the controversy, Southwest is proving it has a corporate sense of humor. Friday, the airline announced its mini fares sale, with one-way flights as low as $49. Flights must be booked online, used on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, or Saturdays, and be booked by September 24th for travel by November 15th. Southwest CEO Gary Kelly admitted to the LA Times that the company could have handled the problem better. Quote, "Some have said we've gone from wearing our famous hot pants to having hot flashes at Southwest, but nothing could be further from the truth," unquote. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. This month marks the third anniversary of the sport pilot rule, and today we'll revisit the shot heard round the LSA world. Cessna's unveiling of its light sport proof of concept. Jim Campbell had the chance to talk with lead engineer Neil Wilford just after the Cessna Sport wowed visitors to AirVenture 2006. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You can find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.